I'm Tara.
And I'm Ashley.
Each week, two movies battle it out in a bracket-style competition to find the ultimate romantic comedy.
This is The Trope Report. Hey, Ash.
Hey, Tara.
This week, we're discussing No Strings Attached versus You've Got Mail.
So, No Strings Attached, they're a 10 seed with a 48%. Not bad.
And You've Got Mail is a 7 seed with a 70%. Give me your thoughts. Initial thoughts.
Look, I think the critics love Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. I think they're biased.
They're classic. They're classic. But you can't knock Natalie Portman. I mean, she's
no. Are you
fantastic.
Kidding me? She is one of my favorite celebrities.
Yeah, I just think that's a strong... These, to me, are mid-movies, but they're having strong actors in them.
That's the thing. I think they're both... They should be closer, I feel like. They're both kind of mid for me.
Yeah. Agreed.
Natalie Portman, did you hear she got cheated on?
When?
And if Natalie Portman can get cheated on, then there's no hope for us. Are you kidding me?
No hope. The
gorgeous, perfect... Natalie Portman got a perfect score on her SAT.
She's a genius.
Lest we forget.
Yeah.
And she took it years later, like 10 years later, without studying, got another perfect score.
No way.
Are you kidding me? Yep.
Maybe she's just too much for someone. She's too perfect. He had to
she's
cheat.
She's too powerful. I just love her. I adore her. I mean, I love Ashton Kutcher, too. I think he's very handsome.
Yeah, of course. Very handsome.
Very handsome.
he at least has some looks going for me. I mean, I love Tom Hanks, but am I going to swoon? No. Okay, I'm swooning for Ashton Kutcher.
Am I going to thirst?
No. Okay, let's get into this. Let's do No Strings first. Give us a synopsis.
Okay. All right, what is there to say? Emma, played by Natalie Portman, and Adam, played by Ashton Kutcher, keep crossing paths. And they finally decide to become friends with benefits.
Ooh.
Will they be able to keep things casual without falling in love?
I wonder.
I mean, that's the whole plan. That's the whole plot.
I mean, at least it's not as literal as the movie Friends with Benefits. That's literally all I could do a synopsis of. It's just... This movie's Friends with Benefits, and they're Friends with Benefits.
And they're Friends with Benefits. Yeah.
What did you think? It's always a debate.
I actually think I like No Strings Attached better than
I agree. And I think I might have even said it in that Friends with Benefits episode. Like, I just think it's better actors, better acting. Mm-hmm. I think it's just there's something a little bit nicer about it. The other one, I mean, I had a lot to say about Friends with Benefits, and I just think it's too goofy for me.
It's too goofy. Do you know who wrote this movie?
Oh my God, who? You're scaring me.
The one, the only, Elizabeth Merriweather, who also wrote and created New Girl.
Really?
Isn't that crazy?
I would
Nick Miller, Nick Miller was in it.
Oh yeah. I did notice that. And the other casting, like Mindy Kaling and Greta Gerwig.
Whoa. Our Lord and Savior Greta Gerwig.
That is like top tier.
I know the side characters were all like recognizable actors.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you had like Abby Elliott showed up from SNL.
Yes.
And there's just so many random people.
Yeah. I'll give this movie that. In my opinion, overall, I really don't throw on this movie too much. I don't think that it's one of my top rom-coms.
No.
I do think it's mid. Every once in a while, maybe I'll watch it. But there's something about like it's so predictable, a Friends with Benefit plot, that I'm just like, there needs to be something else in it to really catch me. Like, there needs to be some crazy, crazy thing. I need a war. I need a fight. I need something true.
Okay. Like,
I need, because otherwise it is so just, you know exactly what's going to happen. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just.
I mean, I did like the setting of this movie, I will say. It takes place in L.A., and as you know, I'm now obsessed with L.A.
Are you really? When did you say you're obsessed with LA?
When I visited there and I came back and I just couldn't stop thinking about it. And I was like, you know, I really did like that city.
Really? I did not care for LA.
all the coffee shops. I mean, maybe I only went to the good parts, but in Studio City, I just want to live there.
Really?
You're by all the production studios, little cute coffee shops, little cute yoga studios, spin studios.
I did not get that
kind
sense.
Of rolling hills.
I just want to live in Santa Barbara.
I love
That's
Studio
it.
City.
Santa Barbara's for me.
And the part where they have that big fight with those towers of lights, I went there.
I went there.
Outside of the LACMA.
Yeah, I'm down for the vibe. I'm down for a little coastal LA scene. It's just not my favorite.
Yeah, I like the vibe. Everyone's hiking. I was just like, this is such an active city.
Yeah.
I could see myself going to the Griffith Observatory every weekend.
Okay.
Picnicking out.
When me and JC went there, we saw a coyote and we turned right back around and just said, never mind. Not for
fair
us.
Enough, fair enough.
Not for us. So that's what you got to worry about when you're hiking out there. But you know what? I guess we have bears here on the East Coast. I don't know.
Yeah, we have something.
We don't
have mountain lions.
I don't know. We don't have much by us. We don't have much nature. Anyway.
Okay. While I set the scene.
Yeah.
Emma and Adam went to camp together when they were little, and they had this nice connection, and he asked to finger her, our first little
classic,
giggle.
Classic, right.
And she's like, no,
classic
I'm okay.
question. Yeah.
And then that's the end of it. And then they run into each other again in college at a frat party that he's hosting, but she was going to MIT.
Uh-huh.
Which, of course, she is, because she's brilliant.
Yeah.
Because she's Natalie Portman.
In the movies and in real life, so.
Yeah, and at this party, instant connection again. Like, every time sparks are flying.
Yeah.
And she invites him to this event. And he's like, what is the event? She's like, oh, it's just something. Like, do you want to come with me?
Oh, yes.
It's her dad's funeral.
She, like, that's when you know, like, she's kind of heartless. Right, she can do this friends with benefits because she truly is closed off.
Yeah, she's very closed off. She's scared of attachments almost.
Yes.
I don't know if it starts at the funeral, like her dad dying is when she kind of closes her heart off, but she brings him to her dad's funeral. He's in like a hoodie.
So embarrassing.
Completely out of place. And then they don't see each other again for a while.
Yeah.
They just go their separate ways, which this keeps happening where they have like this really intense emotional moment together and then they don't see each other for years.
They're meant to be.
They're meant to be. The next time they run into each other at a farmer's market and Greta Gerwig is introduced. Our queen.
Love it. I love it.
Which is so weird to see her acting now. Like, I didn't think of her as a director.
I did not, because I didn't process it. Like, I've seen this so many times before.
Yeah, I didn't
And never thought
it
anything about it. And then I was like, excuse me?
She really is just so charming, though.
Yeah. But, oh, come on, Mindy Kaling. Yes. She is, God, I love her.
And so they run into each other again at a farmer's market. Yeah. And this is when they finally exchange numbers.
Yeah.
But they're both, well, he's in a relationship at this time.
Mm-hmm.
So is this called like a sliding doors trope where you keep running into each other, but it's at the wrong time? And
I don't know, but I love the sound of that. So let's go with that.
He's a PA, I think, production assistant on something like a show that's kind of like High School Musical. And she's in med school and living with three roommates.
Yeah.
So later down the line, he breaks up with his girlfriend. He discovers that his dad is now dating his ex-girlfriend, and he spirals. He's having a mental breakdown. He's calling every girl he knows.
Yeah.
And we don't see who he ends up calling, but he wakes up on the couch naked, on a couch naked.
This
and Mindy
is funny.
Kaling is sitting there eating her cereal. She's like, you don't remember my name, do you? And this is just a funny sequence because she has Natalie Portman has three roommates, and all of them are making him think that he hooked up with them.
Yeah, they each come out one by one.
Yeah. Her guy roommate comes out, and Ashton Kutcher's like, did I leave my pants in your bedroom? And then Greta Gerwig comes out, and she's like, it was the best night of my life.
I love it.
And then finally, Natalie Portman comes out. Is This is their first time we see them sleeping together.
Yeah, this is when I think they go into her room, right? Mm-hmm. And this is the first time that they decide. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they just start, like, making out or, like, yeah. And then they decide, like, okay, we're mm-hmm. going to actually just be friends with benefits. Like, she's
yeah.
no commitment. She's terrified of commitment.
She's so busy, too.
Yes.
Anyone in med school will know.
Yeah.
Or residency knows. You have no free time. So she's like, it would be really nice if I can just call someone up.
Yes.
10 minutes notice. Mm-hmm. And, you know. So they decide to become casual hookup buddies.
Yeah.
But we do see a little jealousy because there's this really hot guy who's at the same hospital as her.
Yes. Yep.
And he's so clearly perfection.
There's jealousy throughout the whole thing, which is just,
yeah,
you know,
totally.
That they secretly, well, they started off as good friends, which we always like that. We love a friends to lovers because
yes.
it lays a good foundation. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not best friends hanging out all the time, but you know that they have
no.
that background where they always
hit
it off.
They have a strong connection.
Yes. Yeah. And then you see jealousy the entire time throughout this. They're mm-hmm. obsessed.
Yeah. And so let's skip to her kind of losing interest is... She's on her period, and he knows about this, and he makes her a period mixtape.
This is a classic. I think everyone has heard of this mm-hmm. scene at some point, right?
Yeah. Which is one person in the casual relationship takes it a little too seriously, does something a little too couple-y,
mm-hmm.
and she's on to him right away. Well, it's a cute moment at first.
Yeah.
He makes the mixtape. They're, like, dancing to it and stuff, and then they wake up. Like cuddling each other, fully clothed.
Mm-hmm.
And Natalie Portman is freaked
Mm-mm.
out. She's like, this is getting a little too serious
yeah.
for me. We both need to hook up with different people.
Uh-huh.
Like, we got to get out there, keep it casual.
Yeah.
So they both go to hook up with other people at, it's like a Christmas party or something.
Is this when he brings the two girls home and one of them is
yes.
SNL? Yeah.
Yes.
But so this is when her true freak jealousy comes out.
Yeah. So she's trying to get with a couple of the doctors, one being the handsome guy we talked about earlier, and then
yeah.
one was just like a random, like, older doctor. And he brings home these two girls that are so clearly into each other.
Yeah.
Like, they're best friends, and they keep, like, looking at each other and being like, I love you. So they're making out with each other. They do not want him to get in on it.
Yeah, they're just using him.
Yeah, but he sent a photo to Natalie Portman, and she's freaking out over it.
Yeah,
and this was funny though.
She was
because,
okay. She's crazy in this scene. Like, I did think for a second, like, whoa, this is if I ever did this. Come on, if I was Ashton Kutcher, I would be like, whoa, you're terrifying me.
Yeah, but she likes it because he's the one that wanted to be more serious.
I guess.
So he's like, oh.
I guess, but she's literally about to beat them, and she's screaming and chases them out of the house and calls them a pumpkin. Like, it was, like, I was like,
yes,
oh, whoa.
They open the door, and she's like, you look like a pumpkin, bitch. And then she runs to the house and grabs a tennis racket.
What does he call
but it's
her?
So funny.
He calls her fast like a puma or something like that.
Yes, but I loved how supportive he was.
Yeah.
Like, it was just so clear that he loved that she was jealous.
Yes.
He was always the one that was more into her than she was
he's
into him.
He's always the softer, the more sensitive. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, he's the one that wants to cuddle, and he clearly wants more of a relationship.
Yeah.
So he's like, this worked, because now she's jealous. He likes seeing this side of her.
Yeah.
But it's
yeah.
so funny how he's like, hyping her up. He's like, for your safety, I think you guys should go. She's really fast. Like, she's crazy.
yeah, that's funny.
Oh, my God. So they start hooking up again. And then she goes to dinner with his dad and his ex-girlfriend.
Yes.
Who, like, announced that they're going to have a baby.
They decided they want to have a baby because they went to Coachella or something, buried themselves
yes,
in the
Burning
sand,
Man.
And thought, what if all these pebbles of sand were babies? Like, what are you even saying? And she...
They're such freaks.
She screams at them. She was like, someone acting like a baby should not be having a baby. And they were obviously offended, but she's standing up for Adam. So you kind of see, wow, like, she's really...
Mm-hmm.
She's flipping the switch, right? Like, she's really mm-hmm. showing she's interested. She's backing him. And they mm-hmm. leave and storm out, basically drop the mic with what she said.
Yeah. Yeah, they hit up a food truck or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he asks her on a real date.
Mm-hmm.
He says, let me take you on a real date.
Yep.
She's like, fine, but I don't want it to be all this, like, cliche stuff. Like, you can't bring me flowers. You can't do this. I'm not going to look
perfect. And what do you
perfect.
Think he does? What do you think he does? Makes an itinerary and so, makes it so cliche and adorable. They go mini mm-hmm. golfing.
But he brings her a bouquet of carrots instead because she specifically said no flowers.
But it's just but freaking, he's so, it's adorable.
It's so cute because he so clearly just wants to have a normal relationship with
yes,
her. He's
yeah.
like, well, I have to bring her something.
Yeah.
But yeah, they go on a mini golf date and they have a milkshake with two straws.
That was cute. But that scene, whoa, a lot to unpack in this scene.
Yeah.
Because he's about to tell her, he's like, I really like mm-hmm. you. And she's like, I really like you too. And he goes, I think I might even be falling. And then she panics. She sees what's about to happen and takes the milkshake. She acts like an idiot and is like chugging the milkshake to try and avoid whatever
he's
going to say.
Him off. Yeah.
But he knows what she's doing too. Like you can see that he's heartbroken by it and is like, oh, mm-hmm. like he can't say his true feelings. It's a mess.
And then so they leave that place and it turns. I feel like this is a good fight scene.
Yeah, except I think. So I think okay, but like I don't like how they took it. Just I get that they're trying to bring a comedy element, but they mm-hmm. took it a little too much with her like jumping on his back and like trying to beat him up. And I'm just like, their words enough are good. Like maybe like one shove and stop. But like she's really trying to beat him up, and I'm like, I get what they're doing. She's tiny and he's giant, right? Mm-hmm. So they're trying to do that contrast.
Yeah,
but I was just like. That's a little too much because before I'm hooked, I'm sucked in like I'm like wow but that's my opinion. Why what's yours?
Yeah, so basically what happens, the lights I talked about earlier, which is like this art exhibit in LA where it's all these lampposts in a plaza, so it's kind of a cool setting, but he tells her I love you and she's like, stop it, and starts pushing him because she's so afraid of like people being attached to her and her being attached to other people. And he calls her a wimp, and she's like, I'm not a wimp. And he goes, so be with me then, because he knows she's scared. He knows it, and she keeps pushing him, and it's this like, I know you love me.
That's
just
the thing,
like, to yourself.
Do that, like that. I was all in.
Yeah. But she keeps pushing him, and they're going in and out of the light post, and the cops show up, and they're like, you can't be doing this here. And so they're like, all right, peace, peace. And they start walking away peacefully, and she jumps on his back and starts, like, and he's like, you're so scrawny. I forget what he compared her to.
I mean, I did like this. What did you think?
Rick Moranis. He was like, it's like a female Rick Moranis trying to beat me up right now.
Do you think it was good, though? I mean... I thought it was a unique fight scene. I think there was more, just comparing it to Friends with Benefits, I just felt like I was feeling more things or something. Mm. Like, we did have that really big scene in Friends with Benefits where she overhears him, like, talking shit to the sister about her, and that was really emotional.
That was bad.
But I don't know. I feel like there's just... Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's just Natalie Portman.
This movie, I think, has a different tone. Like, it's a more serious tone.
Yeah.
So the emotions are just feel more real, I think, in this. Because they were so silly in the other one. And also, Justin Timberlake fucked up more in the other one. Like, in this movie, Ashton Kutcher really doesn't do anything
wrong. That's so true.
And Natalie Portman, the only thing she's really doing wrong is not allowing herself to feel what she's, wants to feel.
You're so right.
But basically they break up after that. They're like, can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
A couple months pass and Natalie Portman is at her sister's wedding and her sister encourages her to call Ashton Kutcher.
It's just obvious that she's so in love with him.
Yeah. Everyone knows she's in love with him.
Yeah.
Greta Gerwig knows. Everyone knows. And she calls him.
Ugh.
And
heartbreaking.
He basically tells her like, we're not doing this. Like, you are just calling me
he's
because
been
you're lonely.
Hurt.
I'm not going
to... He's been hurt so many times by her. He has to stand up for himself.
Yeah. So, and it's like, you're just going to do this over a phone call after everything.
True.
And then his dad goes to the hospital and
yes.
the ex-girlfriend leaves the dad And Natalie Portman hears about it and drives to him. And as he's leaving, a voice message for her being like, if you really feel this way, come to me in person and not, don't just do this over the phone. And she's there.
Iconic.
And she tells him she loves him. Yeah. And he has a great line.
If you take one step closer.
Yeah. If you come any closer, I'm never letting you go. I liked it.
I liked it too. I did like it. But I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I know, listen, guys, we don't speak about the movies ahead of time, but I have a sense that I got a couple of senses that Ash is not going to like You Got Mail. But honestly, like, I liked both. Like, but again, mid for me, not a throw on all the time. Mm-hmm. But when I'm watching it, I'm enjoying them both. But I guess not for Ash.
Okay, I mean, so should we move to You Got Mail then?
Let's just do it. Let me give you a synopsis. Okay. Queen of rom-coms, Meg Ryan, alongside Tom Hanks, star in this nostalgically 90s movie featuring Windows Startup, AOL, and the old New York. Two searching souls find comfort in talking to each other in an anonymous online profile and form a true bond. But can that bond also translate to the real world? I just want to point out also, this is like the original OG Catfish.
Yeah, so, I guess so.
Okay. My opinion on this is, this is fun. I get what you're saying, that it's a little long. She texted me this.
I think it's 30 minutes too long.
She texted me, how is this movie still going on? I get that. I do think there was things that they could cut out, and I felt as if it maybe it feels like a little bit of a, like a different movie at some points, like halfway through or something, I thought.
Yes,
right?
That's what I was going to say. It feels like it changes movies like three times maybe.
I agree. But I definitely have parts like, that I really like. It could be cut. Like, I think there's...
Yeah, there's parts that I like.
So basically...
But I thought it was too long.
Yeah, again, let me set the scene for this. So... Basically, I think that the first scene is kind of cute, right? Like, you see them there, each in their apartment. They both have significant others, Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks, and both of them are waiting till their significant other leaves, and then they tiptoe around the house till they get to their laptop, and they log in because they're checking their email secretly, because they basically have this, like, anonymous lover. Not really, like, their best friends type of a conversation.
Well, this is my first qualm with the movie, is that... They're both having an emotional affair.
They really are.
Like, this isn't okay.
It's not okay.
This is morally wrong.
It's not okay, but they make... Well,
how would you feel if JC had a secret pen pal and he was just messaging girls every night waiting for you to leave?
Okay.
Like, this is insane. They were supposed to think that these people are good people.
All right, when you put it like this, fine. But also... They make the other significant other of each of these people really kind of hard to deal with. So you're immediately not rooting for them. And everyone would root for me if it was a romantic comedy with me and JC. But like, do you know what I mean? Like, they make the girl, like Tom Hanks' girlfriend is unbearable to watch. She's neurotic and so annoying. Mm-hmm. And then...
Who does that sound like?
Me. Oh, damn. Maybe they wouldn't be rooting for me. Okay, whatever.
Oh, my God.
So now, now I'll go to JC. Do you have an anonymous pen pal? Okay. And then Meg Ryan's like, he's just annoying. Right? Like, he's just the type of person that's going to correct your grammar and is so freaking annoying. So... You kind of are set up where you don't like them and you're rooting for these people right away. But I get where you're coming from with that, all right?
It's just, it's a tough premise to be, like, rooting for two people that are, like, cheating on their spouses, essentially.
Yeah, I could see that. But it's not spouses. It's just girlfriend, boyfriend, so...
Okay, also, I feel like people from back then, like... They considered anyone not married to be single, which is so weird to
me. I guess that's true. They definitely did in this movie. So, okay, but the thing is, like, they don't tell each other their names. They don't say where they live. They just basically talk every day and give each other advice. Like, they get to know each other, but they don't know anything about each other type of a thing. It's kind of weird. So,
Yeah, they don't know each other's professions or anything like that.
So she owns a cute little bookstore, and he's this, like, billionaire, like, third-generation billionaire of Fox Books, mm-hmm. and it's basically Barnes & Noble. So complete opposites and classic trope, like, in the same field, dealing with books. Mm-hmm.
And she hates the big stores. They're putting little stores out of business. How cute. But I gotta say, I do love a Barnes & Noble.
Okay, yes, but, like, how cute is her little bookstore?
Yeah, it's so adorable.
It is so cute. And, like, her mom owned it. It's, like, passed down. The mom passed away. It's just...
I feel like they really glossed over. Like, she... So, spoiler, she loses the bookstore to Fox Books.
Like,
and they really gloss over it. She's like, you know what? I'm actually glad it closed because now I have so much time to become a writer. And it's like... That bookshop was in your family for, like, generations.
Yes.
And we're really acting like it's not a big deal. And he's like, I never did anything to you except close down
Completely agree with that. Like, and like, there's a scene where she's closing down the bookstore. Again, major spoilers. But, like, she's closing it down. And then we see, like, a memory of her and her mom dancing in the bookstore. Yes. And it's like, I'm crying, so basically. And then she just, like, la, 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 on to the next thing. Like, it is very, like, maybe you should have used your 2 hours to spend a little bit more on that instead of other things.
So my roommate was in the kitchen while I was watching this. He did the old, like, not really watching it, but then, like, did his work at the kitchen counter.
Of course.
Clearly watching the whole thing.
Of course.
And he was just like, this character is irredeemable. He was like, this character is such a dick.
Listen, you know that I've watched this with Brian before, for anyone who doesn't know, mm-hmm. my brother. And we're watching this, and he's like, Tom Hanks is a mastermind in this. What is he doing? Like, mastermind is in, like, evil mastermind. Like, he's
evil.
Absolutely manipulating everything that she does.
Yeah, because another spoiler, he finds out her identity.
Wait, let's get it. We have to back this up.
I'm just saying.
We'll gloss over a little bit, but here we go. Basically, they're anonymous. They're chatting with each other. And then now we start to see that they're actually meeting in real life. Just coincidentally, they run in the same circles. Mm-hmm. They meet each other
enemies in real life.
They hate each other because she knows, like, well, in one of their first encounters, I don't remember if this was exactly the first one, they go into her little bookstore, and Tom and Meg have, like, a really cute encounter at the bookstore, mm-hmm. and it's adorable, and she kind of is like, oh, like, hope you'll be back, like, kind of, you would think, like, this is the start of something cute, but then they're at a party, and they realize, the one guy goes up to Meg and is like, I can't believe you're talking to Joe Fox of Fox Books that's shutting down your business, and now they are enemies. They hate each other. Mm-hmm. They're out to get each other.
There's a whole, like, press cycle where they're going after each other.
They are complete enemies and want to just destroy each other. They don't know that they're also anonymously talking to each other and are basically in love with each other.
But then they decide to meet up in person.
Yes.
And he goes and has his best friend is Dave Chappelle, by the way. So random.
Yes. This was like with No Strings Attached, where you're just like, these mega people are just in these side characters. It's crazy.
Little side characters. So he has Dave Chappelle go and look to see what does she look like? What is Book Girl, mm-hmm. whatever her username is. And he's like, she looks just like Kathleen. And he's like, no way.
Time
and he goes
he's
and
always
looks.
Saying like, I hate Kathleen, but she's so gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Like, the whole time building up. And he's like, well, you know, she looks like Kathleen. And Tom Hanks is like, great, gorgeous. But it is Kathleen. And he's like, shoot. What am I going to do now?
Yeah. And then he goes in and him and her get into this big argument because she's like, I'm meeting someone here. Go away.
Yeah.
And they get into this argument, and then he keeps it a secret for the rest of the movie
that
he knows who she is and continues the secret pen pal relationship and knowing her in real life all the while, like, he has all the power in that relationship. He's, like, 100%. Telling her what to do in person.
He's a mastermind. Listen, this is, like, I think it's evil and kind of unredeemable, but at the same time, what are you supposed to do? Because he has he has this pen pal that he is so in love with. And I think in that moment he panics because he's like, she hates me so much. If I go in and say that I am New York City 72 or whatever his anonymous name is, she's going to be like, I can't believe it. Bye. Like, come on. If you found out that who you've been messaging is who you, your greatest enemy, you couldn't look at the person the same way. So he
But we could have had a grand romantic gesture. She finds out the truth. She's mad about it. But then he does this gesture that shows that he really knows her so well. Yeah. And that he's sorry. Listen,
I'm just trying to play devil's advocate, but I see what you're saying. I'm trying, but it is bad because basically what he decides to do is like, I'm not going to tell her, but I'm going to show her a good side of me because maybe then she could come around when it finally does come out, right? Like, so he decides to be like, he waits a little bit, I think, and then shuts down her bookstore, okay? And then she, one day, his dad...
He continues to shut down the bookstore. Like... That's the other thing. His grand romantic gesture could have been like, you know what? I'm not going to open this store.
You're so right.
Because I want your store.
You're because so I want your store to
thrive. And you know what? It would have been a nice, concise hour and 30 minutes, and it would have been a great movie. But he shuts down the bookstore.
Okay, you know what?
Offer her a job at his bookstore.
You're right.
Like, he could have at least been like, you know what? Why don't you be in charge of all the books that we sell? Like, you can be in charge of book selections and author interviews and all the things you liked about your bookstore.
That is true. But instead, he just tries to swoon her. Which, okay, some of these scenes where they're getting to know each other are a little cute. Like, them going on just their lunch dates and stuff. They really are becoming friends. And she's even confused. Like, how could this person that I hated so much, like, I'm really liking them now. Like, we're just getting along well. Well, duh, because you actually do get along so well. You're so in love with each other. You just don't know it. We see them each break up with their own significant others, kind of in their own way, right? Like, so she goes out with her boyfriend, and they both are basically like, we don't love each other. And then they're just like, great. Like, that scene was kind of funny how they dealt with it. Because they both just been in this relationship just because they thought they would be really good for each other. But they're not. Like, they realize, like, wait, we actually are in love with other people type of a thing. They break up. And then he gets in an elevator with his girlfriend. And the elevator breaks down. And he realizes, like, in that moment of panic where you're stuck there and you think you're going to die. He's like, why am I with her? I don't care about her. They break up.
Yeah.
Now they're single. Ready to mingle.
I think this is when it starts to do the cute stuff where, like, he brings her a bowl of soup and he's like, oh, I just broke up with my girlfriend, actually.
But the girlfriend tries to hire her as a children's book editor, which would be a good job for her. That was sweet.
Here's the thing. I think they could have cut out the significant others all together. Because what did they actually bring to the plot?
Because that's true.
Neither Meg Ryan or Tom Hanks, they didn't really change how they interacted with anyone because they had a boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yeah.
Like, even in person, they were flirting, even when they had significant others. Like, they really didn't bring much to the plot, and it just added a lot of, that was the slowest part of the movie to me, was in between him finding out who she was and when he starts to finally court her. Yes. Like, it felt like 30 minutes of just cut it.
You know what?
I want to go straight to him trying to
I think
her.
This was a book before. They say at the beginning of the movie, based off of whatever book. I wonder if they butchered the translation to movie and, like, the book just gave more detail. Do you know what I mean? And a lot of times you cut out a lot of those details with the movies, and maybe they just didn't nail it with this one. Because I'm sure, like, in the book, those significant others might have been key. Or it might have been more developed or something like that. But they weren't in this movie.
Yeah.
You really didn't see them that much, to be honest with you. But they were always in the background.
No. So he's courting her and all this. And he basically, person, he's giving her advice on... Well, he's being like, oh, I bet your pen pal is a murderer.
They're joking, talking about each other. But, like, he knows...
that he's talking about himself. He's literally, mastermind, mm-hmm. like crafting. He's convincing her what to say, and then he's going back and emailing her back, and it's just, it's crazy.
Yes, and replying as if he, yes, it's crazy.
It's a lot to keep up with. It's crazy. Okay, but let's skip forward, not even that far, but like, they basically, he convinces her to ask the guy, the pen pal, which is him, to meet up again, right? Or the guy mm-hmm. asked, I forget. But basically, they know that they're walking down the street, he's dropping her off at her apartment, and she's mm-hmm. getting ready to go out with this anonymous pen pal, right? And he says to her, I have this written down. I don't know if this is word for word, but he's like, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes I wonder if I hadn't been Fox Books and you hadn't been the shop around the corner, I would have asked for your number and wouldn't have been able to wait 24 hours to call you to go to a movies or go get coffee or go to dinner for as long as we both shall live. Basically, literally, all of a sudden, which I felt like they didn't know each other that well at that point. They went out on cute lunch mm-hmm. dates and were becoming friends, but not long before they were enemies. And all of a sudden, he's just saying, we're going to be, like, I will marry you, basically. That was a big mm-hmm. leap. Even though, from his point of view, he knows exactly who she is. They've been pen pals for years or something ridiculous. You know what I mean? It was just a little crazy, but it was all this build up to the end. So then you could see she's emotional. Like, she does feel the same way. They have this chemistry. Yeah. And so she's like, well, I have to go. I have to meet this New York 72 or whatever it is. So she mm-hmm. gets changed. She comes back out. She goes to the meeting point, and all of a sudden, you hear Tom's voice, Brinkley, Brinkley, the dog. And the dog runs forward first. And she was like, what? Because she knows that the pen pal has a dog, Brinkley. And mm-hmm. she looks up, and it's Tom coming towards her. And she's like, what? And then
she's crying.
Yeah. It's like this really, like, crazy moment.
It's so emotional. She's crying, and he takes a tissue and says, don't cry, bookshop girl.
But then she goes, I wanted it to be you. I wanted it to be you so badly. And then they just make out, and it pans away. And that's it.
Well, also, what was weird, they were making out, and then it just keeps panning to the dog, like, barking at their feet and, like, climbing on them. It's like, this is kind of a long shot on the dog and their legs.
All right. Basically, it is a little crazy when we, like, actually talk about it, but I was sucked into the movie in the moment. I do think that you're right that there were things that could be chopped out. If they chopped out the significant others, you wouldn't have the problem of them basically cheating the whole time. And then you would probably have the movie shortened by 30 minutes, and then it would be a nice wrap up. You're right.
Better pacing.
You're right.
Also, I mean, my favorite part of the movie is the last 30 or so minutes where it's Tom Hanks, you know, like, them going on little dates.
So would you have been okay if it was the whole mastermind still where he finds out and he's basically playing her?
I think I would be okay with that if it was a long, like, because I thought it was, or I feel like we didn't even need him to be mastermind. I just liked seeing her and him get to know each other. Like,
they were, I have to admit, the two of them, it felt very natural and it felt very fun.
Like, I thought that was cute. You know, them going to coffee shops and joking about it. And
Farmer's Market, like, I thought that New York part City. Was the cutest part. It was a good vibe for sure.
It was a good vibe. Yeah.
All right, let's get into the scoring. So let's start with No Strings Attached for tropes. Now, this is not a New York City. This is LA. I don't know if we can count that as a trope.
Are there many cities or movies set in LA? I'm sure there are.
Like La La Land, but that's not romantic comedy. That's next level. Like, I just feel like maybe that's not the tropiest, but obviously Friends with Benefits is a trope, right? Of course.
Yeah.
The sliding doors, like you said, I like that. That's definitely a trope.
Mm-hmm. The two best friends get together, Greta Gerwig and Nick Miller. Nick Miller from the streets of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
One love.
Grand romantic.
I mean, there were a lot of quirky best friends. Ludacris was also a best friend in that movie. How do we not even talk about that? Ludacris.
Was he really?
It was Ashton Kutcher's best friend.
Yes! They have
his two best friends, Nick Miller and Ludacris.
They have a stacked cast. Grand romantic gesture. The whole
like jealousy trope.
Yeah.
Of her like going like as soon as he's about usually to another girl being like no I actually
I mean usually
like
it's the guy that can't settle down, it's the girl in this situation, but still that trope. I think this
I think this has tropes. Yeah, this definitely has some tropes.
I'm gonna go in with like a 7.5 or 8.
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
7.5.
Okay. 7.5. all right, you've got mail for tropes. New York City.
This is interesting.
It is interesting.
I feel like it's friends with benefits and also enemies to lovers. I mean, friends to lovers and enemies to lovers.
Yes.
Like, they're enemies at first, but then they become friends and then they get together. I don't know.
It's a weird premise. It's a little bit unique in that way, but there's underlying tropes, kind of. And obviously, bookstore. Yeah. She's a cute little shop around the corner bookstore.
Yeah, that's definitely.
Like, the big billionaire versus owning the little shop.
Yeah. Owning a small business is definitely a trope.
Yeah. New York City and, well, what, is there a grand romantic? I don't know. I mean, he's stringing along a mastermind really plan the whole time, but it's not really.
There isn't really a grand romantic because they meet up for the first time in person. Yeah. And that's it. It's not like a grand romantic gesture.
It's not a grand romantic gesture, but it does feel like a grand moment or something because it is this buildup after the whole movie that she finally realizes who it is. And she's like the classic line of, I want it to be you so badly.
Now that I'm thinking about it, the only gesture he gave for shutting down her bookstore was bringing her soup when she was sick. And I just don't think that would cut it.
No, it wouldn't either. I think this is a little bit lower than No Strings Attached for tropiness. But I don't think that it's, I do think that there's still tropes. Like I'm leaning towards 7.
Yeah, 7.
Okay. All right, quality for No Strings Attached. I don't think this is high quality.
I think it's lower quality than You've Got Mail, maybe.
Higher quality. Okay, higher quality. I don't know.
They're both mid to me.
Mid for sure. But I do think that it needs to be higher quality than Friends with Benefits.
Yeah. Oh, okay. What do we give Friends with Benefits? Yeah, I did like it better than Friends with Benefits.
You know what I mean? So hold on one second.
I thought it was done better.
I'm pulling up the number. Friends with Benefits, the quality was 6.
So 6.5? 7? I mean, I guess I was thinking 7 for this
I'm
movie.
Okay with a 7. Like, that's kind of a just because score. It's Natalie. And I'll bump it up from a 6.5 to a 7 for her.
Natalie is just...
She's great.
She's great.
Okay, quality...
And Greta Gerwig. We have to give Greta...
Yeah, so 7.
Give her her flowers.
You've Got Mail quality. I mean, this is... These are classic actors and actresses, but I wouldn't say that this is, like...
I think it's a higher quality.
I think it's higher quality, but, like, compared...
Maybe, like, an 8?
Compared to things, like, in the similar genre, Nora Ephron and stuff, of, like, When Harry Met Sally, like, oh my god, not even close. True. Not even close to that, in my opinion. But it still has that feel of higher quality. So I'm okay with an 8. All right, lightheartedness, No Strings Attached. Has some heavy things going on here. A lot of emotional baggage, father's death.
Their first real date is the funeral.
Yeah. It's just a little bit of dark comedy, I feel like, you know?
Yeah. Definitely.
I might lean 7.
A little bit of a darker tone.
I might lean...
Yeah, I was going to say 6 or 7.
Okay, let's go 6.5. I'm feeling that. All right, You've Got Mail lightheartedness. I mean, this is tricky too.
I think it's...
It's more lighthearted, I think. But...
They portray it as lighthearted even though events in it... Yes. Should be devastating.
If you were to just watch this.
She should be devastated.
Yes, if you watch this and you don't give it much thought, you think, that's a lighthearted movie. That's fun, right? When you actually dissect it a little bit, you're like, this has so many crazy layers and I'm nervous for these people. Like, he's shutting her whole life down and masterminding his way into it to be together. And they break up with their significant others. But it feels lighter.
Yeah. I mean, it's a movie about two people cheating and one of them gets their generational business shut down.
Yeah.
And
big corporate then America gets wins. Toyed
with, yeah. Like, on paper, it's not a happy movie.
Maybe just a 7. Do we just give it a 7?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Comedy. In reality, her life would be torn apart.
Yeah. She has no money now. All right. No Strings Attached comedy. I think comedy should be higher for No Strings Attached than for You've Got Mail.
Yeah. I thought it was funny. Like, Mindy Kaling, of course you're going to laugh with.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, all the roommates. Mindy Kaling, Greta Gerwig, the big gay guy. I don't know his name.
I don't either, but he was hilarious. I agree. Nick Miller, completely.
Nick Miller, he's funny.
Even themselves, they have some funny moments, although it's really the supporting cast.
I thought it was funny when she went crazy and tried to hit him with that tennis racket.
You know, I thought it was a little too much, but I could see where they're coming from. I'm not crying laughing during this, so I'm not going to go high, but I do think that it should be higher than You've Got Mail, and I thought it was okay. I'm going to give...
So what do you think, like a...
7.5?
7.5? Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess neither of these are super high.
Yeah. Comedy for You've Got Mail, I might... Was I laughing? Like...
The only time I laughed out loud was when she gets stood up and they're trying to come up with all the reasons why she could have been stood up.
Yes.
And the guy
This is so relatable.
Like, you know the rooftop murderer got caught right down the street last night, so that's probably why he couldn't come. And the best friend is like, that actually makes a lot of sense. That's probably why he
stood you up. Like, I love how they immediately jump to the conclusions. It's so relatable. Talking with your best friends, and you're just like, of course, like, he would obviously love to go out with me and be with me. There's no question. Mm-hmm. So obviously he must have died. Like, they just jumped so extreme. That was pretty funny.
That part was funny. But that was probably one of the only times I laughed in the movie.
Yeah. So you want to say maybe like 6.5? I mean, there were some funny moments when they were just hating each other. Like, their back and forth was kind of comical. Mm-hmm. Like, and Dave Chappelle, and they're talking. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of, like, banter before he's courting her. There was a couple of funny moments. So I'm leaning towards 6.5.
Yeah. I'm okay with either of those.
Okay. 6.5. All right. No Strings Attached romance. I mean, what makes you feel more romantic from these movies?
I think Ashton Kutcher and Natalie Portman felt more like a real couple.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could see one of my friends in med school coming to me with this exact tale, you know?
Yeah, I think because Tom Hanks was such a... Listen, because it's a Nora Ephron and the settings and spring in New York, like, it's a romantic setting in You've Got Mail. I find it more romantic than No Strings Attached. Like, the background, the feeling of the movie, the little bookshop, it's homey. It feels more romantic, but because he's a mastermind, it leaves a little bit, like, you're questioning, like, wait a minute, what's going on here type of a thing. Whereas...
He just fucked up so hard.
Yeah, he did.
Like, the fact that he shut the store down and didn't give her a single, consolation. Like, all he did was bring her soup.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I know.
He just got her, like, her and all of her friends are out of a job now.
I know.
That was, like, the store
they don't even touch on where the friends, like, are.
One of the only things that she had left of her mother. And because he really could have, like, offered her a job at the big store. He could, like, there's so many things he could have done. And instead of doing something that would actually make her happy, he masterminded his own way into her life.
You're so right.
Like, that's crazy to me. That's
crazy. I agree.
You know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, no, this romance gets a 5.
Yeah. No, I could see, I think I agree with you. And you know what? Ashton Kutcher really... I think brings it in this role.
Ashton Kutcher would do anything for this girl.
Yeah, I think it's really, like, we see a side of him where he's just really, really sweet and genuine, and is just
so
in love with this girl who just is really struggling with the commitment, and, like, his dedication is just adorable. So I do think that it has to be higher for a romance. I never thought I would be saying this about No Strings Attached.
It's just, I mean, Caleb was right. He's kind of irredeemable. He doesn't even feel remorse about closing down these small businesses.
And he's so calculated.
Like, there's several scenes. Yeah, there's several scenes of him just with his, like, CEO buds just, like, laughing about how they're going to close down these businesses.
They have, like, a song about
it. It's kind of crazy. Yeah.
All right, so what are we thinking then for numbers? You're sticking with a 5 for You Got Mail. I'm giving it a 5.5 for at least the ambiance. Okay.
It's romantic setting, yeah, sure. Spring in New York. I mean, No Strings Attached, I wouldn't say it's one of the higher ones in the bracket, but I would say maybe a 7 because it is like.
And I'm sorry, I have to give You Got Mail a little credit only for like. If it wasn't for the masterminding, their online relationship and being there for each other is sweet. Like, they really understand each other. But he just ruins it completely. Yeah, but
again, they were both in relationships while they were doing that.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, you're right, you're right.
Which also brings it down in my head.
Okay, you're right, you're right. Okay.
They were cheating on their spouses while they were together.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. No Strings Attached, you're saying 7.
Yes.
I'm okay with that. I think that's fair. Yeah. Not the most romantic thing I've ever seen, but cute. All right. Final scores. You've Got Mail, 34. No Strings Attached, 35.5. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Are people going to be furious with us?
I don't think so. I think we made some fair arguments. Like, it's just not, it's not bringing it.
Yeah. Maybe, like, back in the day, you can, because I was thinking about this. Maybe back then, email was so recent that it wasn't really a form of cheating, maybe.
But they even like, they talk about it in the movie. Think about they that. Talk about cyber sex in the movie. So it's like, clearly this is...
True. So they knew.
Yeah, they knew. They know exactly what they're doing.
And they wouldn't have been keeping it a secret from their spouses if they thought it was okay for them to be doing.
Exactly.
That's so true. Also, a funny moment. When I was watching this, they like pan to Starbucks... And I was like, do they have that back then?
Oh, my God. Didn't Starbucks start in, like, the 70s or something?
It started in the 70s, but I thought this movie was, like, early 80s. And I was thinking, like, oh, it would have taken a while for them to have expanded all the way to New York. This was... like, really be a franchise.
This was 98.
This was late
90s. Yeah, 98.
It was 98. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Because it does feel very 80s to me. Like, it feels like... the same time period as when Harry Met
Sally. Feels maybe early 90s. I just don't feel like it's not the 80s fashion, so I didn't jump to 80s at all.
I mean, this was very early on in the movie that this happened.
Yeah. Okay, that's it for this week, guys. Don't forget to check out the bracket on our website. The link is in the description. We'll also be posting the final scores.
Send us your thoughts on this week's episode at thetropereport@gmail.com.
Or check out our Instagram and Twitter @thetropereport, where we post quotes from each episode.
If you want even more Trope Report, check out our Letterboxd account, where we are posting reviews of the movies we've watched.
Next week, we'll be having 13 going on 30, going against She's Out of My League. Kind of different.
Honestly, I don't remember what She's Out of My League is even about.
What? This is a guy's
is
movie.
This Justin Long? Is that the Justin Long movie?
I think. This is like a guy's movie. Like, JC loves it. He thinks this is hilarious.
Oh my gosh. Maybe he should come on.
I can't have him on.
No, he should come on. He should come on.
We'll see.
That would be so funny.
Oh my God. Even for, well, just for that, he's not going to sit down and watch 13 going on 30. Maybe he'll just.
Why not?
Cameo.
He doesn't like Jennifer Garner?
I guess I'll ask him. I don't know. I just assumed that he wouldn't like this.
He might like her.
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't like Mark Ruffalo?
True.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, guys. Until next time, keep it romantic.
Keep it romantic.